The Holy Gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
In the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So today is the feast of the baptism of our Lord. And I think I've preached in the past that this isn't held up necessarily as big of a feast day as one might think. You know, we don't wear a special color for this day. We don't have, it's not like Pentecost. You know, like, it's baptism of our Lord. I bet none of you knew that before walking into church today, unless you're a complete nerd like I am. Or you're a priest, because you have to know that. So, and it's interesting because the baptism of our Lord trumps Epiphany. And you'll listen to priests have these, you know, mundane discussions. Mundane because is it going to change the world? I don't know. Because Epiphany happened a few days ago, right? Epiphany is when the kings make their way to the manger. The 12 days of Christmas that happen after Christmas, not before Christmas, right? And on the 12th night, the kings show up and it's wonderful and the star in the sky. And so that happened on the 6th. And now here we are 2 days later, and Jesus has grown up, and we're baptizing him. And the reason that the baptism of our Lord trumps Epiphany, which we all love to celebrate Epiphany, nobody goes, "Oh, I'm so excited, it's baptism of our Lord, I can hardly wait." No. Epiphany, yes. But the reason that this trumps is because baptism is our entrance rite to being a Christian. You know, in fact, how does one become Christian? Good, baptism, you're right. It's baptism. But I'm going to challenge you and say that how one becomes Christian starts at baptism. Now, I did spend some time pondering, you know, so let's say this part of the gospel got lost. And Jesus hadn't gone to John to be baptized. Like, what would have been our entrance rite? You know, washing of feet? Can you imagine how long our church service would be every week? It would be different. But you know, baptism is our sacrament. It is our outward, invisible sign of God's inward and invisible grace in our life. It's a sign of the change, and it is our entrance into this community. And what I want to say is that how we become Christian, though, isn't just done with water in a moment in the middle of a church service. But really, it's how we spend the rest of our lives living out that baptismal moment. How do we live out the vows that were either made on our behalf or we made for ourselves, those same vows that we repeat 5 times a year in this church, in which we will say today together as we get ready to baptize Parker Rose? But it's those vows that remind us of what this Christian journey business is all about. Baptism, being a Christian, is about fellowship and teaching and prayer and sharing the good word and doing right by others and seeking justice. And I think I think the story we hear in the gospel often puts baptism in this soft, glowing light. John the baptizer, gruff desert hermit man, is humbled by Jesus' request. And Jesus, wrapped in his pristine loincloth, because you know there were always pristine loincloths 2,000 years ago, Jesus in his pristine loincloth enters into the river, and the water pours over Jesus' head and streams down his face. And then the heavens open up, and the Spirit of God appears, and you hear this James Earl Jones voice say, "This is my beloved, in whom I am well pleased." I mean, really, can't you see it, Hollywood style? And I say all this, but I don't want to diminish the story in the least, because I really do actually believe it is that glorious. I believe that any time the Spirit shows up to a person or to a group of people, we are changed and we are shaken to one's core. And I believe that the Spirit comes and descends upon each and every human being at the moment of baptism, just as it will for Parker Rose. And I believe beyond a shadow of the doubt that at each and every one of our baptisms, God said about you, "This is my beloved, in whom I am well pleased." Because baptism actually is a perfect moment. And yet, this perfect moment doesn't mean that leading the Christian life is going to follow suit. The Christian life is actually far from that perfect moment of grace. And to that end, I want to share a story about going to the Jordan River with the St. Cross Pilgrims this past fall. Now, you need a little bit of background. My first trip to the Holy Land, to Israel, when we went to the Jordan, we went to this tourist trap stop. You have to go through the shop to get to these mossy or algae field, you don't really know which, baptismal stages that kind of go out into the Jordan where one can be baptized again like Jesus. We were all good Anglicans, so that was not of interest to us whatsoever. But we stood together and we renewed our baptismal vows and we filled our little glass bottles that you had to buy at the shop behind you, right? And then we all took our little bottles and we got back on the bus and it was, trust me, anticlimactic. But this time, our leader, our pilgrimage leader, had realized that this canned experience, which is what most Christians do, the vast majority, 99% of what Christians do in the Holy Land, really wasn't it. And so he had scouted places along the Jordan where a bus could go and where he could take his pilgrimage groups, the Christian groups, to experience the River Jordan as a wilderness, much more like Jesus and John would have seen the Jordan. And so early morning, our bus pulls up, and we get off the bus with our, you know, our own handy-dandy water bottles, and we look, and along the banks of the Jordan is litter everywhere. It looks like a side of a 105 that hasn't seen a trash patrol in quite some time. And so, you know, we're good Californians. What do you do when you see litter? We start picking it all up. It's great to have some altar guild with you because, like, they're like, this is not going to stand. So we're, like, cleaning off our space and the whole nine yards. And then it's good enough, and we gather in a little bit of quiet on the bank of the Jordan in this wilderness to renew our baptismal vows. And to what did our wondering eyes appear? Not a dove. No, coming down the river at its own pace was a couch. An old, beat up, nasty couch, like the one that would sit on the curb forever and nobody was ever gonna pick it up because nobody wanted that couch. And it just started floating down, came around the bend, started floating towards us. And I have to be honest, there was a part of me that I was so offended. We had just cleaned up this space and we're gonna have this great bucolic spiritual moment finally at the River Jordan, and here is this couch. I mean, what knucklehead put a couch in the river to see it float, and it's ruining this whole thing. I'd had it. But then you got a smile. And in fact, I had forgotten this, and 8 o'clock reminded me. One of our parishioners said, "Look, there is Jesus upon his throne." And you see, there's actually some real truth in that reality. You see, the couch making its way down the Jordan River is way more like our Christian life than the perfect God moment we get at our baptism. Leading the Christian life is messy, and it is dirty, and it is sometimes stinky, just like that old couch. And most of our days are not perfect. And each and every day of our Christian existence, we aren't even really called to perfection. Rather, we're called to the messy work of following Jesus. We're called to continually teach one another and to continually learn from one another how to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. We are called to pray together, and we're called on our own to pray for one another. And that's not always easy, because we don't always like that other person we're called to pray for. Guess what? Get praying. We are called to break bread together with those who are like us and with those who appear to be very unlike us. And we are called to serve, not just give money, but to actually be in relationship and serve those who are the least of these. No matter what they look like, no matter why we think we've ended up, why we think they have ended up where they are, our job is to serve, to be the light of Christ that comes into our hearts at our baptism, and to share that out with the world. But the truth of our baptism is that our hands will get dirty, and the work will be hard at times. But the grace is we never do the work of a Christian alone. We do it in community. We do it as the body of Christ, each taking our own part. And when we do the real, dirty, hard work of Jesus, we will see things that surprise us at every turn. Just like that couch becoming a sign of our baptism and the work that we have been given to do in the name of Jesus. Amen.